Today's episode of Locked On Yankees is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts or at the Locked On Yankees handle. I forgot to send out a tweet for you to reply to if you wanted a shout-out, so instead, I'm shouting out to a new follower, Four Boys Mom 2010. In her bio, she says 2020 sucks. I agree, Colleen, but thank you for following the account. I hope you enjoy today's episode. If you're a new listener, I hope you also enjoy today's episode. Last week, I had a conversation with Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres, and in that discussion, we talked about CeCe Sabathia's documentary on HBO, Under the Grapefruit Tree, the CeCe Sabathia story. So if you have not watched it yet, this is filled with tons of spoilers, but if you have watched it, maybe you'll agree with what we said during our discussion, and I hope you enjoy that. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and Locked On Padres and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Again, if you haven't watched CeCe Sabathia's documentary, maybe this episode will make you want to watch the documentary. And if you have already watched the documentary, maybe you have some thoughts about the documentary. And if you do, please tweet at me at the Locked On Yankees handle. I would love to have a discussion with other people about this documentary. I will say, for the record, I thought it was great, but you hear me talk about this in the discussion. So, without further ado, here is my conversation with Javier Reyes.
In all seriousness, I'm really excited to talk about this documentary. Firstly, I think let's just get kind of right into it. Did you like it?
I loved it.
I really did.
Mm-hmm. I watched it. I didn't watch it live on Tuesday when it aired. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a weirdo and I like watching things by myself because if I'm watching with someone else and they talk, I get pissy because mm-hmm. I want to watch and listen and absorb everything. So I waited mm-hmm. till everyone else went to bed and I watched it around midnight, Tuesday mm-hmm. night into Wednesday. And I'm glad I watched it by myself because I cried a few times, which is embarrassing. But I thought it was great. I think people who don't particularly care for baseball should watch it. Because it doesn't only have to do with baseball. I think it's a very important documentary. It shows other people who are struggling with the same stuff that CeCe was, that there is another side, like there is light mm-hmm. at the end of the tunnel. And yeah, I thought it was really great.
Mm-hmm. I think that I agree. I think that, and I alluded to the Long Gone Summer documentary, which came out over the summer, the Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire race, where I call it a fake documentary because I don't understand how you spend an hour and 45 minutes talking about their home run race, acting like it was perfectly normal and being nostalgic over this. It's like the ultimate, like, older white guy being nostalgic over this stuff. And then what everybody who ever has watched baseball even lightly knows about those two is the steroids thing. And you just spend 10 minutes on it. It's like spending, I know your boy, I think it was Bill Simmons made this comparison, which I agreed with, said, you know, it's kind of like doing a Nixon documentary, but only spending the last 10 minutes on Watergate. Like it was just baffling to me that that's the route that they went. And the whole time I watched that documentary going, what are we doing? Why are we acting like this is the story here? It didn't make any sense to me. This documentary kind of went in the ultimate opposite direction of that, where it really, I mean, it talks about CeCe Sabathia as a player for sure. It goes through it, goes how much baseball meant to him, like all sports documentaries. But this is really a documentary about recovery and addiction, and it was so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely was not expecting that in this way. Maybe it's just because I'm coming off of this other documentary from over the summer that didn't feel authentic at all, as opposed to this, where I was just like, wow. And, you know, I'd argue, and as I think I've talked to you about this before, the Yankees are my original team, and they, you know, I still have some love for them, and I will root against Boston till the day I die. But, you know, I grew up and CeCe was great. I loved CeCe. And I remember, you know, he's had his moments. They talk about briefly. They talk about, I mean, he might be one of the greatest trade deadline acquisitions back when it happened with Milwaukee. Like, he genuinely led them to the playoffs. He was a true workhorse. 3 days rest, no problem. I'd argue that out of all the Yankees that I can remember the last, like, at least like 15 years, he might have like the highest approval rating among them. I know you have Jeter. Jeter, of course, would probably be right there. Same tier level. I think Mariano, when he was playing, when we knew less about some of his beliefs, I think was probably at 100% approval rating. But he's definitely one of those guys that you would freak out if you heard anybody that didn't like him. Even my friend who's a Red Sox fan, like, loves CeCe Sabathia, right? And to see like that much of a figure that we all appreciate going through this and talking very candidly about it. I mean, this isn't some like, yeah, man, I went through some tough times and this is what happened. And then it cuts back to baseball. No, it like, he details his days in rehab. He details what it was like when I remember being shocked when he announced that he was going to rehab. I think people forget like that really did just happen. Like it just, the news just came out one day and there wasn't really any from the outside of us baseball fans kind of had any idea what he was going through. And I think the documentary really sheds a big light on that.
Right. I think the first clue that we all had, and they showed it in the documentary, was when he was up in Toronto and he got into the fight outside of the club and they had the video.
True,
of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, whoa, what the hell's happening with him? And but most people saw it as, you know, CeCe as a player always defended his teammates. If someone was thrown at, he'd be the first one out of the dugout to defend them. And a lot of people saw it that way, where they thought, oh, maybe someone said something to his friend or his cousin or something, and that's why he got angry. No one really thought, oh, he's drunk out of his mind, and this is what's happening. Yeah. So when the news came out that he was going into rehab, and you thought back to that incident, you're like, okay, but it was still, I mean, that was a punch in the face, because the Yankees were preparing for the wild card game against Houston that year. You know, it was a big, that year was, you know, A-Rod came back. No one knew what he was going to do. He comes back. He hits 30 home runs. They make it to the wild card after not making the playoffs for 2 years. So that was a big deal. And then the day that they're going to play the wild card game, or it was the day before, the news comes out that CeCe's going into rehab. And I remember, I think I woke up to the news and I thought, am I having a stroke? What am I like? Am I imagining this? Like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really was and everyone's reaction to it. Fans, the sports media, like, no one knew how to react because it really did come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think you really hit the nail on the button. It was truly, and don't get me wrong, I understand that, like, when it comes to people who have addiction issues, it's not like we always, it's so obvious. You know, a lot of people keep these things cooked up inside. And I think CeCe talks about that, where he's like, you know, I just kind of rushed and went through the motions and just kind of try to continue. The way he talks about, like, yeah, I would just pitch on Monday, then drink Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then detox Friday, Saturday. Like, that was just so crazy. It speaks to, you know, on an unserious level, it speaks to just athleticism. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me some of the things that athletes go through on the side and then are still able to, like, that's insane to me. Like, if I, after a New Year's party, like, 1 year, I just decided to go, you know, run 3 miles. That's what it feels like. The idea of doing that, I almost just puked up just saying that just now, even though I'm perfectly sober. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, it's just weird to think about. And this was a documentary that really just decided to go for it, I think, in a lot of ways in that respect. And I think that CeCe is one of those players that people are starting to really appreciate more and more, especially with the R2C2 podcast and all things that he's been doing kind of off the field and is, you know, with the protests that happened earlier this year. I think you're right. And you touched on it earlier. It's a great documentary for baseball fans, but also just people. I think that one of my least favorite things about Long Gone Summer, I love how I'm just trashing on that documentary, but you know what, that's a very, like, okay, if you really liked baseball, like, if you really liked baseball and you're old and, you know, you're kind of this old curmudgeon guy, that wants to pretend steroids didn't happen, then yeah, you might like it. But the real intrigue of that documentary was going to be the steroids thing. I thought it should have been an hour on Sammy Sosa and Maguire and then an hour on steroids, not just for them, but the whole issue and how it kind of taints baseball to this day. And this documentary is very much like, actually, I would argue you don't have to be a baseball fan at all. I mean, yeah, it'll have some appreciation for CeCe, and you'll remember what it was like seeing, I mean, a guy that you just never expected to have this, to be going through this. But I really don't think you have to be a baseball fan. I think it's something that's just a genuine brief, you know, it's only like an hour long kind of viewing experience for people. Even though, you know, baseball documentaries aren't always that interesting, I thought that this one was certainly hit the bill as just being a documentary on life. I mean, think about it. They only cover, like, the footage is only from the 2019 season. Right. I mean, like, the new footage that they show is only from the 2019 season. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't think the footage was all that interesting. I thought it was just like, all right, cool. Here's, and like, it's cool for Yankees fans. That's the most baseball part of the documentary, is seeing the footage of like, oh, he's saying bye to Brett Gardner and stuff like that. All Yankees fans. Brett Gardner is like one of my favorite players. And, you know, that stuff is cool. But for the most part, you don't have to be a fan. And I think that's a real strength of the documentary.
In a moment, the discussion about Under the Grapefruit Tree, the CeCe Sabathia story, will continue. But first, are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. There's still time for you to bet on the Oklahoma State-Miami, Florida, not to be confused with Miami of Ohio. They're playing in the Cheez-It Bowl. That's at 5 p.m. tonight. And Colorado and Texas are playing in the Alamo Bowl. That's at 9 p.m. And also this weekend, NFL-wise, can you believe that the Giants actually have a chance at winning the NFC East? That just shows you how bad the NFC East is. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. After you're done placing your bets for the weekend, why not open a Built Bar? Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, because we know that there are allergies out there. There are 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Out of the 12 original flavors, I always talk about coconut almond because it's amazing. Mint brownie, amazing. Salted caramel, also amazing. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That means next, not first. So if you're like me, you could have ordered 50 times already and still get 20% off. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. I was thinking about what you were saying about how a lot of people with addiction, you don't know what they're going through. And it's the same thing with mental illness. There are a lot of people who seem to be fine in their outward life. And then you come to find out after they've died by suicide that, oh, things weren't good at all. I mean, that happened with, you had no idea about Robin Williams, Chris Cornell, Anthony Bourdain.
Yep, Kate Bourdain. Spade,
you know, so addiction and mental illness are similar in that way. And they go hand in hand, because a lot of times people with mental illness will use alcohol or drugs to cope with their mental illness. And I know that CeCe was talking about anxiety on top of drinking, and that caused him to drink a lot more because he'd be anxious about people finding out about him. And he'd think, okay, I'm just going to drink to get numb, and this will make me feel better. So I appreciated that part of it as well. I mean, he was, like you said, really vulnerable. And, mm-hmm. you know, for someone like CeCe Sabathia to show that much of himself to everyone, and even Amber, you know, Amber went through it with
absolutely,
him
good point.
Since they were teenagers. And when you think about the seasons when he struggled from 2012 to 2015, and he just wasn't right, knowing what was happening now explains everything. And now you're thinking, mm-hmm. wow, I can't even believe that he didn't go to rehab sooner mm-hmm. because of all the stuff that he was going through.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, and they do make a note. And I think he did, I think someone mentioned this before the documentary, maybe it was some report, maybe I'm making it up. I don't know. But I remember like some people were saying, it's like the documentary alludes to, yeah. I mean, part of it was he's on the decline, like as a player now, mm-hmm. like he was on the decline. I remember those years too, where it was like, he had that like one final, maybe 2013 season. I can't remember for sure. I'm not looking at his like baseball reference page right now, but he pitched like a bunch of innings. And then the next year, we see what happens to a lot of pitchers who throw hard. They just kind of, if the velocity isn't there, they have to really adjust because you're not going to be able to make guys swing and miss and stuff like that anymore. And that's kind of what CeCe was going through. And they show like little clips of, it's amazing. Like, I mean, we are technically media, but it is amazing how much the industry could be like, you're unbelievable. Get him out of there. You know, it's like, this guy won you guys a World Series. I mean, I know that New York could be crazy. And I know that, you know, you guys have arguably the craziest and Mike Francesa on the radio all the time. And I mean, I personally take joy in his craziness every now and then, but it's true. Like people, it really is like amazing how quickly people will flip. And I did like that they added that little semblance of there in the documentary for sure. It's one of those things that, because my mom, as well as a huge CeCe Sabathia fan, I almost got there too. I remember when he talked about also his family. We even touch on this, like his upbringing, the whole, you know, why the documentary is called what it is. And his, you know, his father passed away right before, or was it, I think it was right when his son was born. He's like, we have to take this picture because this might be it. You know what I mean? And that really
part,
like got
that
him.
That part really killed me. That was when I first started crying. I was like, oh my God, I had no idea he was going through anything like that. And I mean, he was much younger than I was when, I mean, I lost my dad when I was 40, but you know, it's rough losing a parent when you're not expecting to lose them and you find out they're sick. And it's just, that always kills me in any, even a TV show. If I'm watching someone watch a parent die, I just lose it. And that part really, the part where he said he wasn't sure if he's going to make it to see little C born, and he did. And there were a few pictures of him holding that baby and I just lost it.
The pictures were really, that got me too. It was really, really powerful, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, him talking about all that. Yeah, it's like, okay, we do the quintessential documentary of sports documentary. All right, here's the footage of him hitting. And yeah, we knew that he might be special and all this, you know, all those lines that they use, right? But for me, what's so great about the documentary is I just can't stress that enough. I did not expect it to be this open and vulnerable at a topic. And I really applaud CeCe Sabathia. And I think it's one of those things that everyone should see, even if they're not super baseball fans or sports fans of any kind. It was really good. Was there anything that you thought maybe didn't work for you? Because I have like maybe one thing that didn't work for me. It might be a little nitpick, but anything that you thought the documentary was lacking in any way?
See, I liked it. I mean, I thought I did. And I thought the timing was perfect because sometimes, like you said, some documentaries, they stretch things out so long and you're kind of thinking, okay, it shouldn't be this long. You know, where the hour and 7 minutes worked for this one. I'm trying to think because I watched it on Tuesday. I'm trying to think if there was anything that I.
So for me, if this might trigger anything, for me, my one nitpick of the documentary, I didn't like CeCe's narration of things. I thought it was really, it was a little stiff. Like when he was actually talking to the camera and stuff like that, when they're talking to people, it was great. I mean, that's some of the highlights of the doc, you know, him being completely authentic and whatever the word is, he's just cursing and all that stuff. He's perfectly fine with just being who he is on camera. But when it was like talking over B-roll and stuff, it felt like he was reading off of a script.
And it also sounded like he was yelling.
Yeah. And it didn't feel right. He's like, and you know, that's just like he became a little bit more robotic for me. And that was it was odd considering I'm like, what is going on? It's like, did you take a cue from Law of God Summer? It's my fifth making fun of that thing on the podcast. like, did you take a cue from that? And you have Mark Wilgar. Yeah, man, you know, I knew I was good. It's like, did you decide to become robotic? Did someone to tell you to tone it down for some reason to stop your being so unfiltered? I don't know. That was just a minor complaint of mine where I was like, this is a little distracting. Just show him on the camera again, you know, see him, show him talking to the camera. I'm just being himself. I just thought that as a narrator, it didn't quite work. Maybe they could have had someone else narrate that. I don't know. I don't know who you would have gotten or how that would have fit. But that was just my only kind of main gripe, if any, with the documentary.
Right. It sounded like he was reading an audiobook script.
Exactly. Exactly. Like an audiobook script. Exactly.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's one thing that bothered me a bit, because as you said, you know, when he was talking to the camera and being himself, like, I love CeCe so much. I love that he doesn't care that he curses every other word, which made me worried when he was, you know, he was doing the Nets game the other night, and I was afraid that he was going to say something bad. Because
he said that too. He was like, oh man, I'm scared to call games because I feel like I'm going to say something bad.
Well, I thought it was interesting because a lot of people were like, well, now that CeCe's out of baseball, but he's still living in the New York area, he should do Yankee games. And apparently he has a beef with Michael Kay that I didn't know about.
Really?
Yeah, that's why he won't do Yankee games. He joked that it was because he didn't want to wear a suit, but it came out that he has a beef with Michael Kay. I don't know exactly what the beef is. I need to find this out because I love any kind of conflict like that with Michael Kay. I mean, I think it's funny that Michael Kay had a nearly 20-year grudge with Mike Mussina because he didn't react. Like, when Moose first came over to the Yankees, he has a very dry, sarcastic sense of humor. And I think he said something to Michael Kay that Michael Kay didn't appreciate. And Michael Kay was just trashing Moose during every Hall of Fame season. And when Moose finally got elected, you could tell that it pissed Kay off.
I love sports beefs. I love sports beefs so much. They're some of the greatest things in the world. It's always sad when you see people that actually make up, I think, sometimes. But for the most part, I feel like they end up. I love sports beefs. I don't know if you watch SB Nations. They've got like a series that's beef history between athletes. It's just an absolute delight every single time. Like Jeter and A-Rod, they have one of Jeter on A-Rod that's just sublime, and it's perfect. Like when the two of them were on that Wall Street business TV show, whatever, and you could just tell. I was like, oh my god, this is so bad.
Yeah, that
like A-Rod's trying his best to act like nothing's wrong, and then Jeter's like, I just can't do this.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff all the way around.
What I think is funny about the Jeter A-Rod thing is I know someone who worked for the Yankees, and behind the scenes, people actually liked A-Rod better than Jeter.
Oh, man.
A-Rod was a little more generous with his money and his time when it came to the rookies. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, A-Rod does strike me as a student of the game type. Yeah.
Yeah. He bought them suits. He would take every rookie out and buy them 3 suits so they had something to wear because, you know, the Yankees have to wear suits on road trips. I'm sure Stevie loved that.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. That's hilarious, though. What an amazing twist. Have you enjoyed A-Rod's post? Not post career, but the media side of his career, because I know that's like in our Locked On chat, every time this guy is calling a game, it's just nonstop bashing of him in the chat. It's amazing.
Well, this is what bothers me about it. He's so good at post game stuff on Fox,
and
hitting and explaining strategy and stuff like that. And I feel like ESPN does this to everyone who calls their games. They dumb them down and make it feels like they make them say the dumbest things, because ESPN games aren't even about the games anymore.
Yeah, it's just I agree, though. I don't think he's – I think that when he first burst onto the scene with Pete Rose, I'm like, make this the baseball equivalent of like what TNT has with Barkley, Kenny Smith, and – and Shaq, like, just make it like that. Have former athletes who have like you know, you've got the Ortiz Yankees round, oh, Yankees lose, like, it's always fun, like, seeing them. That is awesome. Like, I was like, this is finally, it's like baseball's been looking for something like this forever. You have like the calm one, then the two rivals, and then the moderator. Like, I was like, this is good. And then you hear him call games, it's like, you know, Jordan, Ali, Aaron Judge, which is like one of the greatest calls I've ever heard in my life that I think he was being serious about. And just the regular games, it's like the chemistry isn't there, but the post game stuff, I'm always like, this guy's good. And honestly, my last take of the podcast, I know people were, I think after The Last Dance came out, right now everyone's talking about, oh, what other athlete do you think should have the Last Dance style documentary? The answer is none. The only other one that I could think of that maybe would have been appropriate was Muhammad Ali, but he's not here anymore, obviously. RIP. I actually think one that would be amazing is Alex Rodriguez, because you could make, like, you can make it a half, like, a rise and fall story. There's more of a story that, guess what? Core four, all right, they were good baseball players. That's how most people are going to view those guys. Yeah, Jeter's interesting to a degree, but it's not like, I don't feel like you're going to hear that much. They're doing that Tom Brady documentary now. Who cares? All right, he's an all-time quarterback. Do you know anything about Tom Brady that's, like, a story or interesting? I don't think so. I think A-Rod could make for a fascinating documentary of, like, these three-act play of, like, the rise in Seattle and being one of the stars of the game, then to the Yankees where you have all the Jeter drama, and then to him finally winning, and then to the steroids, and then to him redeeming himself in the media. I actually think he could make for a fascinating documentary.
Sure. I think so.
Great.
I know we got a little off topic there, but I hope you enjoyed the conversation between me and Javi about the CC documentary and about all the other Yankee stuff that we brought up. It was a fun conversation. Javi is always a cool guy to do a crossover episode with, and there's a lot of stuff going on with the Padres this week, so if you want to hear all about that, listen to Locked On Padres. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcasts. Locked On Bets. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.